Okay, well, getting ready for the Jets, and that's, I think just an addition to what we saw from them earlier in the year. They've added some things offensively, defensively, real good running game, of course, and present the usual scheme problems, the ones that we worked on the first game and that they did a good job with. So, we got a lot of work to do there, and, division game. It's November, so that's we gotta play well Sunday. Need to play a good game here against the Jets. They got us the last time, and we need to win the division.
Bill, obviously, Sunday was pretty emotional. Does it help, do you think, to face a team like the Jets where you think you guys wouldn't need any help to get geared up for it? I mean, does it help that it's a team that has beat you and that has talked some in the past and stuff like that?
We know the Jets are tough and beat us the last two times we played them. So, we need to try to reverse that trend. But it's a big challenge in this league every week. Doesn't matter who you play. And the division games are even bigger. So, we have the same philosophy every week, win or lose. We make the corrections, take a look at the game we played, and then move on into the next game. And so that's where we're at this week. It's really like we always approach it. It's just a division game. I guess that makes it even a little bit bigger.
And since you guys have played them last, have you, I guess you saw some of their, a little bit of their blitz scheme, like when you played the Ravens, I guess it was the week or whenever it was after that. Do you think you guys have improved since then in facing that scheme?
Well, we'll find out. One thing about the Jets is they continue to add little tweaks and give you little different looks on it as the year goes along. So I'm sure even if they run the same things against us that they ran in the first game, they'll do it with a little variation or something that's makes it look a little bit different than what it really was the last time. They do a good job of that, and they don't just line up and tell you what they're going to be in. They try to make their coverages and their blitzes and their packages all blend together so that it's hard to read until after the ball snapped. So I'm sure we'll get something similar to that this week.
Bill, a two-part question about Matt Patricia. If you could talk a little bit about the impact he's had on this year's defense, and secondly, does he have an expanded role at all on the sidelines during game day now that Dean Pease is up in the booth?
Well, start with the second question. I think Matt's, of course, it's different. They're different assignments and different things to do on the field than up in the booth. They're both important. They're all important. Everybody's got an important role on game day. So I would just say they're different. Having, done those myself as an assistant for a number of years, being upstairs, being downstairs, calling defenses, not calling defenses and all that, it doesn't really matter what it is that you're doing. You need several different people working together there from the top to the bottom, and I mean from upstairs to downstairs to making adjustments with the players to looking at pictures and figuring out what they're doing. It's all important. It all has to work together, and Matt's a big part of that, but so are Dean and Josh and Pepper. They all are, so it's I don't want to over-magnify anybody's role or undersell it because it's all important and it all works together. Defensively, Matt, of course, has a very important job, as does any linebacker coach, because the linebackers are involved in every phase of the defense. They're involved in our regular base defense. They're involved in the pass rush. They're involved in the pass coverage, and they're involved in our sub packages as rushers or as coverage players. And so that really, integrates them into all the other units on the defense as far as the communication, but also their responsibilities. At times they have to coordinate with the secondary. At times they have to coordinate with the linemen. At times they have to coordinate with each other on coverage drops and run fits and things like that. So anytime you're coaching a position like that, whether it be linebackers, tight ends, running backs that you know have to be a part of everything, then you know of course that's in all the positions are important, but that has kind of a different dimension to that you know to that position as opposed to you know coaching the secondary or the corners or those kind of, and again I'm not saying that's important, I've done that too, but you can be a lot more specific and there's a lot of plays you know an inside trap play that doesn't really involve the corners. So there's a number of plays in the game where they're not directly involved, but there's hardly any play where, you know, a linebacker isn't involved to some degree, and you have to coach it to get it defended properly. So it's just, you know, it's a little bit different, but it's fun to coach those positions because, you know, you're in on every play.
So one thing, I was wondering if you could revisit two of the personnel decisions from Sunday, which I'm sure you've been asked about.
I'm pretty much, you know, I think all that's been talked about and discussed and all that. I gave you what, you know, what I knew about it in the game, what my decision was, and at this point, really, I'm on to the Jets.
It was actually about Ty Warren and Springs being inactive, not about the call. I was wondering if they were injury-related or personnel-related.
Well, they were, you know, they were on the injury report as to what their injury situation was, and then those decisions were made. Really, they were both game time type decisions. And, you know, again, on the whole injury thing, you know, look, at this time of year and really almost at any time of year, you know, I don't know if any player is 100%. You know, I don't really know if that exists. And guys that are dealing with stuff during the week, you get to the game and some of them, you know, play with some type of limitation, and some of them don't. And sometimes that's a physical thing. Sometimes it's a coaching decision based on the game plan and what you know the player is going to have, what you think he's going to have to do, how effective you think he'll be doing it, what your other options are, other players that you could use in that role, what the, you know, the possibility is. I mean, there's always a possibility that a player could get, you know, re-injured or set back. And you know, so, like, there's 10 different things that go into that. And that's, so it's a combination of all those things. You know, and I wouldn't say that it was any one thing or, you know, that there was one overriding part of that, that this was 90% and everything else was added up to 10%, but it's just all of it put together, and again, your other options of the other, you know, the other eight players that you have to pick from, the 45 and eight, again, it's not just about offense or defense, but it's about kicking game and your depth in the kicking game and also your depth in situational defenses such as, you know, multiple receivers and nickel and dime and all those kind of things, not just your basic first down packages. So, I mean, I'm not trying to make it more complicated than it is either, but I think there's a lot that goes into that. And as I always say, if all of our players were healthy, if all 53 players were healthy, I think that other than the backup quarterback, they would all play in the game by situation, and you have to decide which one of those, where you want that depth. And if a guy isn't healthy enough to play, then that's, you know, that takes him out of it. There's no decision to be made. But with those other guys, like, will we have use for somebody doing some role in some part of it, even though he's on the inactive list? I would say almost every week the answer to that question is yes.
Bill, Where have you seen that the offense has had some problems in the red zone? And really, for an offense like yours that goes three receivers a bunch, how are the challenges different down there than they are, say, between the 20s?
Well, it's for every offense. You just have less, you know, less space in the throwing game. The holes are smaller. The defenders sit on the routes tighter because they don't have to get run off. And in the running game, you're dealing with more people. In the balls at midfield, you have safeties or sometimes even corners that are playing deep enough that really don't affect the running game until you maybe gain 8 or 10 yards. They're just not close enough to really be a part of it because of their coverage responsibilities. But That's different in the red area. Again, those players don't get run off, and they don't have to carry their receivers very deep because they can't go very deep. So they're able to show up quicker in the running game, and a lot of times, like most defenses do, a lot of times the secondary, you know, keys for the run first, and then they get back on their man. And again, that's a little harder to do out in the field because of plays like flea flickers and hard play action passes and things like that where, you know, the receivers can run by them. So, you know, down there, offensively, you're dealing with, you know, more guys in the running game and tighter fits in the passing game. So that if the defense, you know, does a reasonably good job, that offensively you need a good throw and a good catch and a good route, you know, to really stick it in there in a tight hole. And those holes are a lot tighter than they are out in the field, you know, generally speaking, unless there's some kind of, you know, major mistake or just, you know, a receiver runs a great route and gets a lot of separation on a defender down there. But I'm just saying that's harder to do. You know, good throws, good catches, good routes, good timing. That's really what you need in the passing game down there. And in the running game, you've got to take care of more guys, whether that's the running back, you know, running through them or breaking the tackle or putting his head down for another yard or two or coming up with some type of a scheme play that either eliminates those guys from fitting into the running game or bringing your receivers in to block them and you know, having somebody less dangerous like a corner be the unblocked guy as opposed to a safety. I mean, those are your options.
Obviously, you guys have been good in that area in the past. Is there something that you think is lacking there right now where you guys can maybe just, you know, do certain things better that, I don't know, good red zone teams character or typically do?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we've spent extra time working on in the last few weeks and including over the bye week. And we'll keep working on it. We're not doing as well in that area of the field as we'd like to do, as we feel like we can do, and we need to do a better job of it. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So it's those are important points. You know, the difference between 3 and 7 in a close game. Those are important points in both ways, and we gotta. You know, we've got to coach it better. We've got to play it better. We've got to play our best football in that area of the field because there's a lot at stake. And we definitely, there are a lot of, I mean, there are things we need to do better. It's not any one thing. It's a lot of different plays, and we're in different coverages, and the offense runs different plays. And it's, you know, it's not, you know, just one thing, but it's certainly as a composite on the whole, you know, it we need to do it at a higher level.
Final question here, guys.
So you mentioned that you're moving on to the Jets, and you know, you detailed everything from the most recent game. How will you handle that with players in terms of corrections? Will you go back over that, or because of getting back so late, do you just sort of say, let's forget about it and go full bore into the next game?
No, we address it. You know, sometimes it's done in less of a team setting and individually, you know, the different positions get together and watch the film maybe after practice on Wednesday or sometimes they do it, you know, during the morning meeting and take a little block of time to see it and go over it. But it's something that you kind of have to squeeze in when you give the players Monday and Tuesday off after the game and you don't have the Monday film time like we normally have. Then we have to squeeze that in as part of our part of our week here with the Jets. Like I said, usually on Wednesday, either a block of time off the morning meeting or at the end of the day when the players get done to go back over it. Now, we've had a lot of guys in here yesterday and today that have come in to watch the film, on their own and, you know, with some individual coaches too. So that's also part of it. We've had really everybody will come through the building either yesterday or today, they will have all been here to, you know, to work out and lift and get treatment. And most of them, you know, have, I'd say most of them, but I'm sure a good number of them have already seen that film. So, part of that process has already occurred.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks.
All right. Yep. See you tomorrow.